Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest in the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, go visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So I got my buddy Jack Wang with us from Longhorn Financial. Just as a reminder, Jack joins the show for informational purposes, should not be construed as financial advice. Always seek a qualified financial person before you make any decisions in life. Hey, Jack, welcome.
Hey, Kevin, how are you today?
Living the dream, brother. So, Jack, I want to jump in because I see this all over social media all the time. When we were younger, you know, we were taught save for your retirement, save for your retirement. And we were also taught to perhaps put money in your 401k because the company won't match it. So a lot of our generation just has lots of money in their 401k. But as we start to get closer to retirement and looking at the impact of taxes, that may or may not have been the best decision. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I hear the same advice, and I see the same advice all the time, right? Saving your 401k, saving your 401k. So let's kind of break that down a little bit. So saving for retirement, good, right? Always necessary.
Yeah.
Even for real wealthy people, you know, really wealthy people have really big lifestyle needs, so they have to save for retirement as well. But over time, I think what's happened is that people have sort of co-opted that save for retirement tip into save for your 401k, right? Because that's what's most accessible to most people, right? It's your workplace 401k. And while 401k plans have their advantages and disadvantages, that's not the only place you can save for retirement. So oftentimes people think about things like asset allocation. Well, what percentage should I have in stocks? What percentage should I have in bonds? Right? Should that change with age or whatever? Right? There's plenty of articles on that. But really, instead, you know, what I want to tell people is that something called asset location is actually far more important than asset allocation. Right? Those are different things.
So go in and explain that more. What's the difference?
Yeah, absolutely. So people think, you know, when you ask people like, hey, are you diversified? Or if they're working with a professional, right, hey, let's diversify my portfolio. They're thinking, you know, what percentage stocks, what percentage bonds, what percentage cash, right, international versus domestic, whatever, right, all that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about asset location, I don't mean geography, like do I have some like here at the house and some down the street. What I really mean is how that money is treated for tax purposes, right? And so really, we're talking about really three kinds, taxable, tax-deferred, and tax-free. And I'll explain those in a minute, but really how they're taxed is actually a far, far bigger impact than do I want this type of stock or that type of stock, right? Both are important, but most people don't think about the tax treatment or so-called asset location aspect of it.
Yeah, that's so true. Just in our heads and kind of what we may have been told was, oh, but Jack, when you retire, you're going to be making less money. You're going to be pulling less out. So assuming all things being equal, meaning no change to tax rates, that makes sense. But unfortunately, you can't predict tax rates or even how much you're going to take out. So, again, maybe the plan didn't work as well as we thought it was going to.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the differences in tax rate, you know, who knows, right? Because the traditional thinking is that, hey, when I retire, I'm going to have a lower tax bracket. That may or may not be true, right? Because, you know, people talk about, well, you have fewer expenses, so you don't need as much money. You're not commuting. You're not taking the suit to the dry cleaner, although who wears suits these days? not me. That's for sure. You know, so things like that, right? Those expenses go down, and that's absolutely true. But other expenses go up. So, for example, you're no longer working, right? So you want to take that vacation. You want to get stuff, more stuff done around the house. You know, stores like Home Depot become very dangerous places in retirement, you know, because, you know, all that stuff you didn't never had time to fix around the house, well, now you have time, and if you can't fix it, you need to run to Home Depot or Lowe's or, you know, whatever, right? So, yeah, we spend less on certain things, but other things go up, and so that you end up sort of needing as much, if not more, income as you did before retirement just for different things. And so if you need just as much money, well, the tax bracket doesn't go down, right? The whole premise of you're in lower tax bracket is that you needed less money. Well, if you're still spending the same money, you're going to need just as much. If you're going to need just as much, you're still in the same tax bracket, right? So, you know, not to mention that, hey, you know, you might not fully retire. You might still want to be working for a little bit, maybe part-time or whatever. You know, all those things factor in. So taxes going down in retirement is not necessarily a given, right? That's sort of the point. And so, like you said, we never know what's really going to happen.
So basically from here, Jack, I got two questions. How about someone who's, you know, 55 or so years old, put all their money in their 401k, is there any strategy they should consider at this point in time before they retire?
Yeah, for someone who's closer to retirement, obviously the traditional financial advice is save as much as you can, right, between now, you know, if you're 55, let's say, between now and retirement. So you have more money available in retirement, take advantage of growth, all that. And that's all well and good. However, again, sort of where you save, sort of the tax location or asset location aspect is important. But also, as you're older, you can start to take advantage of things like conversions. Well, I mean, you can convert any time, but it might make sense in later years. So you can convert, for example, traditional IRAs to Roth IRAs. Now you take the tax hit today in exchange for tax-free money down the road. Or if you're over 59 and a half, what you might want to do is intentionally start taking required minimum distributions or some money out, like required minimum distributions. Now, you may not even need it just yet, but you start taking it out a little bit at a time, do the tax, and then put that money then into a Roth-type vehicle or some other tax-free vehicle. So you essentially do like mini conversions over time. And so what that does is it gives you a lot more control down the road and allows you to lock in sort of the lower tax rate today allows you to lock in tax rates today versus having uncertainty in the future, right? So that may or may not work well, but it's control and flexibility. So for someone who's 55, you absolutely have options. It is not just blindly sock money in the 401k. While that's still an option, there are others.
So obviously, if you're younger than that, you should think about the diversification now versus just putting it all in your 401k. But I think for many people, Jack, you're just tempting. You're like, but Jack, I'm getting, you know, this 50% match. You know, why wouldn't I do that?
Right. And getting a match, absolutely. You want to take the match, right? And so you have to remember that sometimes or the matches can vary by company. So some companies will do something like dollar for dollar up to 6%, which is a really good match. Other companies I've seen will do like, you know, 25 cents on the dollar up to the first 3% or 4%. You know, so you put in four, they only put in one, and then that's it, right? And so depending on what type of match you get, you know, it may not actually be worth it. Yeah, people say, yeah, it's free money. And I get that, and I understand. But if the match is really low or if there's no match, then you're better off maybe saving in the tax-free vehicle versus tax-deferred, which is like a 401k. Now, granted, if your company is willing to do, you know, dollar for dollar up to 6%, dollar for dollar up to 10%, that's a really good match. Obviously, take it. But the answer is not always, get a match, just take it, because it really depends on how much the match is.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense and stuff to be able to think about that and stuff, because It just, like I said, it's interesting because, you know, you start to make a little bit of money. You're looking at your tax rate, looking at the firm. It all looks good on paper. And then you, as you get there, as we start to get closer, we're like, it made sense when we did it, but maybe not now. Diversification would have been a better point of view, right?
Right, exactly. And you know, the one thing I also see is sometimes younger folks, you know, are told by their parents or whoever, right, stick as much money into the 401k as possible. You do that and get the match, and okay, great. But then, especially the younger you are, you have life goals, right? Like, you might want to buy a house. You might want to take a vacation. You might want to have a kid or whatever. Well, those are expensive things. And then, you know, so if you sock away money in a 401k and not in other types of accounts, whether it's savings accounts or otherwise, right, if you then have to take money out of the 401k to fund those things, then that's not a good thing because you'll end up paying tax plus a penalty. Or I've even seen situations where people have done a great job socking money away in a 401k, but then to fund that trip, right, that they want to go on, they went into debt. Well, you don't want that either, right? That's not good. So there has to be a balance.
Now, that makes perfect sense, because that was going to be the next question, is we find there's people who have a really large nest egg in their 401k, but they're struggling to, you know, like you said, life's events. They need a new car, and or, you know, they need repairs to their home, and they just don't know how to go about getting them. So that makes perfect sense, Jack. So, Jack, how can people reach out to you? How can they learn more?
Yeah, people can always find me on Facebook at facebook.com/longhornfin or my website, www.longhornfin.com, or people can email me at jack@longhornfin.com.
So, Jack, I really like today's advice, you know, the importance of diversification, having money in different buckets, you know, because like you mentioned, sometimes there's just life events that come up. You know, we're taught to put all this money away, and then you decide, hey, you know, for some reason you were, you know, renting an apartment, you decide you want to buy a house, and then you're trying to figure out, you know, where the down payment comes from. So when you're planning for retirement, you have to plan for life events too, right?
Absolutely, and that's really where this comes into play. And I just want to kind of make mention, right, this is, you know, this is about just having different tools and flexibility, right? Because different tools are taxed different ways. And so what I'm not talking about, don't save for retirement or whatever, it's having the flexibility and ability to control your situation down the road, right? That's really what it's about, okay? So instead of just having a hammer, you have an entire tool chest full of tools, hammers, wrenches, screwdrivers, pliers, whatever. But, you know, balancing those life goals, right, so saving down payment for a house, having a kid, paying for college, whatever, those are really important. So different accounts are treated differently even for those things. And so, again, just blindly following the advice, you know, stick money in the 401k, while not poorly intentioned, in practice can lead to some kind of bad results for all those things.
Well, like I said, that's where it seems to be going. So, Jack, really appreciate you taking time to call into the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Thanks for having me on, Kevin. Always appreciate it.
See you soon. Yep, bye now.
Yep, bye.